I'd like to echo the warm welcome to Chicago, my home city, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to present our research findings in this forum. I would like to acknowledge my co-author, Lindsay O'Brien, who joins me in the room today, as well as recognize the GE Foundation for funding this effort. For those of you who would like a handout, there are printed copies on the side table. You're welcome to pick it up at any point. I have no relationships, financial relationships anyway, to disclose. I'm actually going to start the presentation at the very end and provide to you some of the conclusions of our work. First, free and charitable clinics that are located in Medicaid expansion states are faring worse than those in non-expansion states. And during this presentation, I'll be able to share with you in what respects we found worse conditions. And secondly, we found significantly more free and charitable clinics in Medicaid expansion states making what we would consider major decisions to their clinic operations than their counterparts in the non-Medicaid expansion states. And later, just to keep you in your chairs, I'll tell you about what those kinds of changes indeed were. But for you to appreciate those conclusions, you need to understand the terms that we're using in this presentation. And so we'll start with defining the terms free and charitable clinics. What these two kinds of entities have in common is that they are both nonprofit entities. They target their services to the uninsured and the underserved. They provide a range of healthcare services. A distinguishing characteristic of them is that they utilize volunteers, especially volunteer providers, and they don't bill third-party payers. There are some distinctions that are important to point out between free and charitable clinics, and a free clinic provides all of its goods and services at no charge, while a charitable clinic provides its goods and services for a fee. And then there's a special case of free and charitable clinic that we call inside the sector a hybrid clinic, and that denotes that the free or charitable clinic is billing a third-party payer, usually Medicaid. Why would you care? Well, the free clinic sector has been reported in some previous research that I conducted to number more than 1,000. There's a free clinic that exists in every state but Alaska. And collectively, they have been documented to serve more than 2 million patients and together reach and provide 3.5 million medical and dental visits. But the Affordable Care Act, of course, has reduced the numbers of uninsured. And a recent RAND study reported that there are 17 million net newly insured individuals, including 6.5 million who receive insurance through Medicaid. But we also have close to 30 million people over the next decade who are estimated to remain uninsured. And of course, those uninsured aren't distributed equally across the U.S. And one factor that explains some of the unevenness in the distribution comes from the fact that now states have the option to expand insurance coverage to 138% of poverty. And as of today, 19 states have opted not to expand that coverage. An additional state is still weighing that decision. So it's against this backdrop that we came to this research question: how are free and charitable clinics faring under the Affordable Care Act? And our two principal hypotheses, shown here in an alternative form, that clinics that are located in Medicaid expansion states are faring worse than their counterparts in non-expansion states. And secondly, that more clinics in states that have expanded Medicaid would be doing more operational changes than their light clinics in states that haven't expanded Medicaid. AmeriCare has conducted the study. It's, for those who might not be familiar with it, it's an emergency response and global health organization that serves not only individuals who have been affected by disaster, but people who have limited resources. And its model of care is to obtain product donations and deliver them through their network of partners, which include free and charitable clinics. They conducted a survey of their 355 partner free and charitable clinics about the levels of funding and in-kind support, fundraising efforts, staffing and volunteer levels, as well as changes to their operations just about a year ago using a web-based survey. And here's what we found. First, what we'll be describing today comes from a respondent who number 44% of those who were sent the survey, and given this fairly modest response rate, we wanted to know about the characteristics of clinics in their network who didn't respond. So we carried out a logistic regression model of non-response and found that the only predictor of non-response was budget size. Let's take a look at the characteristics of the partner clinics in AmeriCare's networks. And even though I just pointed out a moment ago that we did find a difference between respondents and non-respondents, what you notice here right away is that these are pretty well-resourced clinics. They have budgets exceeding, even among those respondents, exceeding $500,000. They're large clinics that are open almost 30 hours a week, have 8 paid staff, supported by 130 volunteers, serving close to 1,800 patients, reaching about 6,000 annual visits, and about 40% of them are located in a Medicaid expansion state. So let's consider the first hypothesis, faring worse in expansion states. So before I get into the details of the slide, I just want to orient you to the colors and in the slides. So the Medicaid expansion states are shown in that yellowish color. And the non-Medicaid expansion states are shown in orange. And this color scheme will carry out throughout the presentation. So now getting to the details of this particular question, we find that significantly more free and charitable clinics in the Medicaid expansion states report that it's harder to raise money than their clinics in non-Medicaid expansion states. When we actually look, though, at the funding levels, we didn't detect a statistically significant difference either in the percentage of clinics that report a decrease in funding, shown on the right-hand part of the slide, nor do we see a difference in what the actual mean percentage decrease was. In other words, the clinics in all states reported experiencing a decrease in funding. We look next to trends in in-kind support, and significantly more clinics in Medicaid expansion states reported a decrease in in-kind support versus clinics in non-expansion states. And that difference is about twofold, 38% to 19.6%. Next, we looked at trends in staffing, starting first with those in paid positions. And here, we didn't find any statistically significant differences in trends in staffing of paid positions, either in the number of paid positions shown here on the left, or in the hours of paid positions. So this is getting at whether or not there were any cutbacks in the hours. And so we didn't find any differences here. Where we did find differences is trends in staffing among volunteer medical positions. And we found it in both cases, both in the number of volunteer positions as well as the hours of volunteer positions, with about a twofold difference between clinics that are located in states that expanded Medicaid versus those that are not. When we looked at the trends and scope of services, we didn't actually find the story that we expected to see, cutbacks in services to the same extent, although the number, the percentage of clinics that report a decrease is a little bit higher in the Medicaid expansion states versus the non-Medicaid expansion states. But what we did find is that those in Medicaid expansion states are increasing services to a much greater extent than those in non-Medicaid expansion states. We looked at trends in patient volume, both in the number of patients on the left and on the right, the number of patient visits. And here again, we find that twice as many clinics in Medicaid expansion states report a decrease in the number of unduplicated patients, as well as the number of patient visits. Let's move on to our second hypothesis, looking at organizational changes that the clinics are making. So this question is going to take a little bit of explanation. The survey asked respondents whether they were considering a change in their organizational service delivery model. What does that mean? Well, I think it's helpful to think back to one of the very first slides when we were defining terms, free clinic, charitable clinic, hybrid clinic. And what this question was getting at was whether or not a clinic was changing its model of delivery from a free clinic to a charitable clinic, or from a free or charitable clinic to a so-called hybrid clinic. And what we found here is that the free and charitable clinics in Medicaid expansion states were much more likely to report a change in their organization delivery model. We asked them a similar question about their billing. And so this question is getting at whether or not a clinic is starting to bill a third-party payer, mostly Medicaid. And here we found that clinics in Medicaid expansion states were much more likely to report a change in their billing model. And the differences are about twice as many in the Medicaid expansion states. When we asked clinics about their clinic flow, we found almost a threefold difference between clinics in Medicaid expansion states and clinics in non-Medicaid expansion states, with those in the Medicaid expansion states much more likely to report changes in their clinic flow. Twice as many clinics in the Medicaid expansion states reported changes to that involve their technology integration, as well as the type of data collected. So across all these dimensions, the story is very stable in that clinics in the Medicaid expansion states are doing a lot more to their clinics. And finally, despite widespread perception that free and charitable clinics are closing at high rates, we found that just 8% of the responding clinics reported that they are considering closing, and none, in fact, plan to close. So what do these findings mean? Well, with regard to our first hypothesis and things were being worse off in clinics in Medicaid expansion states, we find that this hypothesis is largely supported, except for we find that the decrease in funding is experienced by clinics no matter where they're located. And the greater resource constraints, be they in fundraising, the number of volunteer providers, or the decreases in in-kind support, are great, but especially in Medicaid expansion states, but somehow they're holding on and able to retain their paid staff at current levels. We think that the greater difficulty fundraising that clinics are reporting might be due to funders perceiving that the need for free and charitable clinics is less because there's been an increase in the number of insured. And the more widespread decreases that we see in the volunteer pool could signal either diminished interest among providers Or it just could be that there are fewer opportunities for those providers because there are fewer patients and fewer patient visits. We found strong support for our second hypothesis regarding changes in operations, and believe that all of these changes suggest that clinics are attempting somehow to mitigate this environmental uncertainty that's resulted from more of the uninsured population gaining insurance. And after all, the uninsured population has been historically the bread and butter population of these clinics. And we characterize these findings, these changes as major, the kinds of changes that clinics are making to their clinic operations are significant. I think it's worth pausing on the sample that we have to draw conclusions. On the one hand, I think there's a disadvantage to the sample because it doesn't represent the average free clinic. It's much better resourced. But on the other hand, I think what it tells us is about a really important part of the subset of the free and charitable clinic. Because they're much more resourced, they're going to reach and serve many more patients. So they're very important to the free and charitable clinic sector. Our study has some important limitations. But in conclusion, we're able to say from the survey that the impact of the Affordable Care Act has not been uniform across the country, but depends on whether or not a clinic is located or not in a Medicaid expansion state. It's a very challenging resource environment for all clinics, but particularly so for those in the Medicaid expansion states. And clinics are adapting by making major changes to their operations. Thank you.